Hey, it's Donnie Mangos, and you're listening to the What's Up with Toronto Real Estate, or something like that, podcast, right?
I don't know. It's your podcast. You should know what it's called.
Something along those lines, guys. I mean, it's been a long morning. Everybody, welcome Catherine back to the show.
Hi.
So, I've been begging for the past 2 weeks to get her back onto a podcast. She's been avoiding me, which is really hard to do because we live together.
Yeah, but we're like, you know, two shifts passing in the night.
Two shifts passing in the night. So, hey, everybody, thank you for listening to our last podcast. The feedback was generally positive, Kath. I think that they like me more than they like you, personally.
Yeah, right. That's debatable.
So I had to convince Catherine to do part two of our discussion. And then, who knows? Maybe this could be a regular thing. Maybe the audience wants to hear you speak as well.
Maybe you should ask your audience.
Okay, so I'm gonna just
in a poll or in a Facebook question app thing. You know, whatever they do on social media these days. Whatever the kids are doing.
So we are foreshadowing. Maybe I will ask that at the end. Maybe I won't. You gotta listen to the whole podcast to get to that point. Hey, Kath.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey.
So, do you want to talk about the property ladder?
Of course I want to talk about the property ladder. Why would I not want to talk about it?
Do you even remember, like, our history of what we bought and how we got to where we are and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I do. I remember a lot of it.
Okay, I will defer to you then. Okay. I do remember, just so you know. It's not like I don't remember this stuff.
I remember because I think I motivated a lot of the buying decisions, choices.
I'm calling bullshit 100%.
Yeah, no, it's not bullshit at all. But let's talk about it.
Okay, so let's talk about... So there was a me before there was an us.
Yeah, that's true.
And...
That's usually how it happens.
So I started... I had property before we got together.
You had a property.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's just, property seems like implies multiple.
I think it's more of an on and off thing. It's like I had or I didn't have, and I did have, so it's
you
fine.
You had a property. Well, you had a condo.
Okay. I jumped on the property ladder.
Yeah.
Sooner. So what I'll do is I'll start with that, and then you jump in when you actually appeared in my life in that capacity. Good?
Okay.
Okay. Many, 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 many years ago. I think I was like right out of... I think when I got my first job at a university... I used to be like a nerd. I used to be a software developer. Remember that stage in my life?
That could be offensive to
no. People who are nerd is cool. Developers. I'm still a nerd, but I was not happy in my career at the time. Anyway, I got a job, and it was amazing because 20 years ago, my first job was a high paying. I had a $46,000 contract. I was so excited. Anyway, the first thing I did was
buy a condo.
I bought a condo.
That's smart.
Yeah. So
how much should it tell everybody how much your down payment
was? I'm gonna share the story with this whole thing. Okay. So I bought a condo in Toronto. Mind you, it wasn't like downtown. It wasn't awesome, but it was awesome for me because it was my first place and I was excited to do this. So I bought pre-construction. I bought a condo. It was one of the last condos to sell in that building. And I bought it for $130,000.
That's crazy.
And back then, the rules were a bit more relaxed on financing. I put down 5% to the builder. So I only put down $6,500 or so, and I bought a place.
Yeah, pre-construction, right?
Pre-construction, that's what I just said.
Oh, sorry, Catherine, I wasn't listening to you.
She's on the gram, guys.
I wasn't listening.
Need to focus. Need to focus here.
Okay.
Next. I stayed there for a little while. You stayed a couple nights here and there.
Yeah, I was still living at home, as most Italian kids do.
So then years later, I sold it. I think maybe 2 or 3 years later, I sold it. And then I was like, I'm moving downtown. Scrap this. And I bought downtown another one-bedroom condo after I sold my other condo. And I bought that place for,
I think it was like 189 or something.
I think
like
it was 215.
Okay.
Somewhere around there, okay?
And give or take, plus or minus 30 grand.
That's probably my favorite place that I've ever lived.
Yeah, it was like you were young and you were down on the King Street overlooking.
Yeah, so I was looking.
Wayne Gretzky's. It was in the heart of Club District too. So like, you know, all your friends loved it because you were the only one that had a condo downtown. So when you go partying and do your club thing on the Friday, Saturday nights,
pre-drink, oots.
Yeah, and then everybody could just like crash at your condo if they had to or wanted to. So,
okay, the condo was right at Wellington and Blue Jay Way, which is my balcony overlooked the Gretzky's balcony, the Oasis. So I would look over there and see if it was busy before I actually went over there and spent money on beer because I wanted to go where the vibe was.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so I bought that condo. That was amazing. And then this is where you come into my life, I think, in the real estate world. We sold that because we were getting married and we bought somewhere else pre-construction in a little area called
Liberty Village.
Liberty Village.
Yeah, we were there before it was all there.
Remember that we were just like, I think we were just farting around downtown.
Yeah.
Much like we're doing today. More on that in a second.
Yeah.
And we happened upon this neighborhood that we didn't really know about or care about, really. It's called Liberty Village. It was pretty decrepit. It was pretty
scary,
industrial, abandoned, boarded. And we saw this building called a Toy Factory Lofts. And we were like, what is that?
Yes.
We walked in a sales center. We're like, oh my God, this place looks awesome.
It looked awesome.
This place is so shit. It's going to be amazing. We can be smarter than everybody else. We can buy and get whatever. So we did. We ended up buying that when we were there.
We bought it on the spot.
Like idiots.
Yeah. But, it turned out to be a great decision. We bought it. What did we put down? Again, pre-construction. Can't remember what we put down. Are you
ready? I remember the stuff.
It wasn't expensive. We bought a one bedroom plus den. It was 1,000 square feet.
It was 1,022 square feet.
Facing the courtyard.
Facing a courtyard. With huge ceilings, brick, beam, all that stuff was inside. Remember that stuff?
I do. I remember my dad coming when the condo was finally finished, and it was all the like exposed HVAC and everything, which is what, us young, cool, hip people wanted. And he was asking, when are the condo people going to come back and cover up the ceiling? And we were like, no, we bought it like this. We bought it because of this.
I told him, but I paid more to leave it like this. Yeah. And he goes, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? They did half the job. And you can't see it, but he threw like a hand in my face. The Italian, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Your dad did that too because he was
okay,
not.
Okay, well, yeah.
Anyways, so we digress. What did we buy it for?
You went too fast. Hang on a second. You went into like when your dad came in after the place was built. But we bought it and we had to wait, remember?
We had to wait a long time.
So we bought it. This building was full of graffiti, boarded up windows, terrible. And I remember driving, we bought it. And then I told my parents, and then I took them for a drive downtown so they can see it. And I drove by with my dad in the car. And he's looking at this, and he's pointing. He's like, you're kidding, right? Like, this is where you bought?
Like, we sure did. We're going to build a life here. It's going to be awesome.
I think he was so, sad or,
disappointed.
He didn't want to let me down, but he just sort of like, okay, if you know what you're doing. And that was it. It turns out we didn't know what we were doing.
I think people want to know the numbers, because that's what I would want to know.
We bought that place for $315,000 with parking on the same level that our condo was, so there was no need to use an elevator ever for anything, really. We were on a second floor. We did some upgrades, and this is where builders really gouge you guys, just so you know.
Don't upgrade through the builder.
That's easy to say, and it's the right thing to say, but you can't avoid it sometimes. Remember, they wouldn't cut our cabinets short if we didn't buy the upgraded package with the microwave atop the stove. And then we have to undo all the cabinetry and all this stuff. And it was terrible. Anyways, long story short, we spent a mint on upgrades. You remember this story? I'm not going to share that number because that number is kind of embarrassing. But we spent a lot of money on upgrades.
Yeah, I think the unit, if we tell, people can figure out.
Okay, so that's that. Anyways. And then a few years there, we loved it there.
Wait, let's go back. So we had to wait 3 years for it to be built. During which we got married, lived with your cousin in a threes company scenario, which was hilarious. Remember, we were living with Bill?
He's my soulmate. It was fun. I lived with him before,
With both of your soulmates. It was amazing for you. The best and the worst times of our life.
It was equally the best and worst times of my life, for sure.
So we lived there for 3 years, and during those 3 years, you decided you wanted to buy another pre-construction, put money down on another pre-construction condo at Windermere and Queensway in the NXT building. And so we were living in the condo, You took money out of our, whatever. I don't remember if you took it out of our equity or if you just had some savings, but we bought pre-construction there as well and waited for that to be built. And initially we were going to sell that condo, the NXT condo, and just continue living in Toy Factory because it was amazing and it was so big for the two of us. But then we decided the smarter decision when it was ready to be occupied was to go and live in there so we didn't have to declare capital gains and then lose all this money on all the money we made. Am I correct?
Yeah, that definitely contributed to part of it. I think also at that point we had Mia, so we had a kid. And you wanted her to have her own room. And at Toy Factory, she had her own room. Yeah, like the.
It was a den off the main door. I wouldn't call that a room.
I'd argue that that was totally a room. If there was a door, that would be an absolute room. And I'd argue that that room was probably bigger than her bedroom at the other place anyway.
Yeah, so just so everybody gets an idea, we went from over 1,000 square feet down to
773.
773, but it was a two-bedroom in this NXT condo.
We grew close that year or those couple of years.
It was great living in a small condo with like you could be so productive. Like you could put a load of laundry in, watch TV, watch your kid, make dinner because everything was in such like an arm's reach. You could take care of the kid, stir your soup, put things in the dryer. Like I felt very productive those couple of years living there.
When we sold the place in Toy Factory, we sold it for, I think it was $565 or something like that.
$565.
Okay, somewhere around there. And this place that we bought pre-construction, we had paid, I think it was like $290 or something for it. So we, do you remember this? We were mortgage-free.
Yeah, it was when we were living in NXT.
Yeah, for a couple of years we were mortgage-free.
It was glorious.
So whether or not we ever become mortgage-free again, for a little while we were.
We were. We can say we
Woo!
We were there once.
So we were mortgage free. Okay, so then we lived there for a couple of years, and then Catherine like laid her foot down and said to me, "Listen, old man, I am not having my daughter's second birthday in this place. I'm having it in her own backyard. So she'll be two in like 4 months, 5 months. I need a house. Go make it happen." So we ended up after a long search. It was a long search.
We were divided. Donnie wanted to live on the west end of Toronto, like where we were currently living, like in Swansea or Bloor West. And I was more gunning for the east end, just in terms of affordability and proximity to family. Because Windermere, like, I know a lot of people live in the west end, but for me, it felt very, very far. Like getting to work at King and Spadina at the time when I was working at King and Spadina from Windermere and Queensway, which should only be a 10-minute drive on Lakeshore, would take me close to 45 minutes. Like, that was insane. So anyways, all this to say, we're living in this condo, and, like, it's, you know, maybe it's time to look for a house or a home. Maybe we need to, like, upgrade. Maybe we need to take that step and, like, really adult and search. And so we searched for a long time. And we put in a lot of offers in various places. Yeah. And thank God, like, none of them took, because then we wouldn't have found our home.
She basically sounds so nice. Like, she said, yeah, maybe this we should do that. No, she said to me, I am not having my daughter's second birthday in here.
Why do you have to make me sound
that's what,
bad?
That's what happened. I'm telling, like, you, this is
transparent. I don't make you sound transparent. Bad on this.
Okay. Fine. You want me to apologize?
No, whatever. Okay.
So then next, it was, we found this house. We bought it. We bought the house for $790,000. We're Pape and Danforth. And we spent a lot of money renovating the place to get it to where we want it to be. And that's where we are now. Last year, we bought another house down the street. And we're like 3/4 of the way renovated that house as well. And so that's all happened. In the meanwhile, there has been some other pre-construction purchases. Like, I've bought a couple of places with and without Catherine's permission or knowledge. King and Bathurst.
King and Bathurst, King you East. Bought because I told you to buy that.
Okay, King and King East, so on the east end of King, that was, you were away on vacation. I think you were in Washington or something for some conference, and I bought
that
the condo.
That one you kind of bought without me.
We have another, I had interest in a commercial building in Mississauga. This kind of stuff happens, guys, when you start buying property. It just kind of, the first one's hardest, and then it just kind of rolls in, and just you realize this is a tried and true method of making money. Because
I think the method for us, like, really, like, we live wherever, like, we were living, we have a place that we own, like, at the time when we first started. We have the place that we're always living in, and then we're putting money down somewhere else and waiting for that thing to be built. And that was kind of the formula. Like, we bought Toy Factory, we invested in NXT. Moved from Toy Factory, went to NXT, and bought in River City, right? Bought in Cabbage Town, or that up in kind of Canary District, right? And then we moved from NXT to Harcourt, our house now, and, you know, kept River City, and then invested also in King and Bathurst, which was an amazing decision. And now, you know, we've made multiple other purchases while living in Harcourt, you know, with your triplex investments and other pre-construction properties.
Yeah, a couple of those on the way. A couple of triplexes that we own now, and pre-construction. And this brings me to the next point of this is, now we're on the verge of buying another pre-construction condo, which is completely driven by the lady to my right here, the beautiful Miss Catherine Mangos. And the reason, and this is from coming from a girl that was like, anytime I would consider borrowing money from ourselves to put towards what and something else, she would see that and think, debt, mortgage, bad. And now you're converted. You're totally like, what else can we buy? What else can we buy?
You get greedy, which is...
I wouldn't say it's greedy.
No, it's like...
It's opportunistic.
Opportunistic, but at the same time feels a little bit greedy sometimes.
Why is it greedy?
I don't know. It's like I want more. It's like more, more, more. If I suddenly sent, you know, I want more shoes or I want more that, then that would feel, you know, indulgent. Like, but I understand it's all for building wealth. And, you know, we don't have pensions, you and I. We don't have anything really. We work in for ourselves or in kind of industries that don't have that. And that's probably the same for a lot of people. And so the only way to kind of secure or build for a future, safeguard, you know, from not having money as we age is
this.
This.
We've made our own pensions.
We've made our own pensions.
It started off accidentally and then 100%. This is purposeful now.
Well, like, you got on the property ladder and you were fortunate that you just, like, you made that decision very young. And, you know, property at the time, you know, it's probably still expensive. But, like, looking back, like, when you look, when you do the math on, like, price per square foot, if hopefully my math is right. Like, when we bought Toy Factory downtown in the heart of the city in a cool district, 1,000 square feet, it was $315 per square foot. And what are the new construction going for now?
Downtown is over $1,000. Yeah, well. I want you to remember this. When we bought that place, did we buy it at a discount?
No.
Yeah, my first place
was expensive. Like,
to me,
it was a lot of money.
Yeah, like, back then, first of all, condos weren't that popular. Where I bought wasn't that popular, and spending that kind of money on a small one bedroom thing was like, I paid market value. I didn't get a discount. I paid what it cost, and the market made sure that was the right thing for me to do, because it appreciated and made me money. But it's hard to find a really, really, really good deal. Like, now they come because we're like a little bit more mindful of it, but it's hard to find a really good deal. And getting in was a hard decision at first to try and figure out how I'm going to afford this. But once you're in, the sky's the limit. And now here we are many years later. I want to talk maybe about shifting gears. You guys good with the property ladder talk? Are you feel good about the end of that?
Guess.
I think we're in a good spot.
Like, what's the takeaway for people?
Get in. Just keep building. Just like sitting on the fence. I had friends, you probably have them as well, that said, I'm going to stay home, live in the basement, and save money. So the place that they wanted to buy, the place that they could have bought when they started this process, let's say they could have bought it for, I don't know, 300 grand. And then in a year, if that market appreciates 5%, 5% appreciation on $30,000 is $15,000.
Which is not that big of a deal.
Well, no, but it's after tax dollars. Let's just say the number was higher. Let's say the market, because the market did appreciate more than 5%. Let's say it appreciated 10%. Now you need $30,000 more in order to get the same place that you could have got a year ago. It's not easy to save $30,000 after tax living in mom and dad. People aren't, they're not sophisticated, not to be offensive at all, but it's very difficult to be that strict on your spend.
Yes, diligent.
Yeah.
Committed.
So I think the market has proven that even when there was a little blip a year and a half ago, like that's, we saw the bubble burst. I'm doing air quotes here. You can't see them. We saw the bubble burst and like, it's still the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do before the burst. It still is the right thing to do after the burst, if that was a bubble. But yeah, shifting gears. So we're recording this right now. I'm sitting on a bed, this beautiful king size bed. We're at the Adelaide Hotel, which is going to be St. Regis very soon. Cause we're on a staycation.
We're on a staycation, guys.
It's so nice.
It's so nice.
There's no kids.
Although we miss them like crazy.
But they're in good hands. They're fine. We talk to them. We FaceTime. And this is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's great because you get, you know, a day. Like, we've been there for 2 nights. So 2 nights of, like, solid, you know, blackout curtain type sleep, which is, you know, hard to get sometimes at home. And it's amazing. People should do it because we immediately after one night felt way more rested.
We had done
connected.
We had done a couple of vacations this summer already. So we're at the end of summer as we were recording this. We had done a couple of vacations, and I remember, Catherine, we were driving back from one of the places we rented, a cottage, a couple weeks ago. Driving back, she's like, "Are you relaxed? I feel good." I'm like, "No, I don't feel relaxed at all. I feel like I need a vacation from this. This is nuts." I'm just sitting there watching kids in a lake, make sure they don't drown, making sure the dishes are washed and like things are put away. And what if it rains? Got to haul stuff in. Like, this is not a vacation to me. So I feel like this was good. But you know, so what I want to talk about being on vacation, and Kathy, you don't know I was going to bring this up, but every time we go away, yeah, including in that cottage we just left,
yeah,
we always talk about can we buy here? Like, would we own here?
Yeah.
Wherever it is, we talk about it, and we all, like, I'm sure you guys do the same thing. How much does it cost to buy here? What's it like? Would we visit here? Would we come often? And
if you buy like a vacation property, does that limit where you can travel to? Because you'll feel this, you know, sense of obligation to visit, you know, the vacation property you buy, whether it be a cottage,
sure,
or
that's
a condo in some kind of resort village, whatever the case is.
So this is the first time that I haven't actually, so we're taking a vacation in our city. We're downtown Toronto. And
we were so lazy to leave our own city. Could have booked a last minute flight.
No, but
could have, whatever. But we're like, no, this will be the most relaxing thing. No airports, no border security.
No getting there.
Yeah.
And this is the first vacation we've taken in a little while that I haven't really thought about, should I buy there?
Yeah, I don't think you can actually afford to buy in the St. Regis. Wouldn't be a cost effective choice. Return on investment would be very low.
I don't know if that's true. Anyone listening for St. Regis, we don't know. I don't know the values here. I've never actually sold a unit in this building. There was some lawsuits that were probably still pending. I'm not really sure. I don't want to get involved. Okay, we've been on this for a while.
Yeah, it's
we gotta go. So listen, how did you guys like having Catherine on here? Should I try and make her more of a regular, you know, add-on?
Or maybe just guests in general. Maybe it's not even me, but maybe ask your audience if they like having hearing you talk to other people.
I also want, like, I love you, Kath, you know that, but I also would like others who are listening to say, hey, I want to be in the podcast, and maybe we can come up with something we can talk about that's, it has to be a little bit real estate related, not really entirely real estate related, even if it's just me and you having a catch-up talk. Just let me know if you want to be on as well, and I'm happy to make this happen over, like, internet technology, you stay there, I stay here, kind of thing, to make it more convenient for you. But anyways, all that to say,
thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. And let me know how you feel about having Catherine on. And if you guys do like the sound of her voice as much as I do, I'm happy to continue to ask her and bust chops to get her back on the next episode and all that. Okay? So anyways, guys, have a nice, thank you for listening. Have a nice day. All the best. Ciao, Bella.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao.